Friends in Christ, today we have a very rich and a very powerful gospel story that is presented to us by Holy Mother of the Church. And we read in today's gospel the narrative of the wedding feast at Cana. And there are many things that we can speak about today. We could speak about the sacrament of matrimony, because it is on this occasion that our Divine Lord raised matrimony to the state of a sacrament. We could also speak about the power of prayer. But I would like to focus today on our Blessed Mother and the striking characteristic of her powerful intercession with God and her motherly tenderness towards the needs of her children. Now, today's gospel excellently shows to us why we as Catholics pray to Mary in every course to our Blessed Mother. First of all, in today's gospel, we see the motherly care of our Blessed Mother. As a good mother, she was on, so to say, she was very much aware of what was going on around her and the needs of those around her. We read how during the course of the wedding, our Blessed Mother notices that the wine is running short. And she knows that this would be a great embarrassment to the couple. So it is that she does something about it. Now imagine to yourselves, you're hosting a party or hosting a dinner event. And imagine to yourselves that during the course of this party or this dinner, that you run short of food or you completely run out of food. Now, you can imagine the panic that you would be going through, scrambling about, trying to scrape something together to find how you can avoid this embarrassment, because it would truly be an embarrassment to you, to your family, and to your guests. Some of them haven't even been fed yet. So this just goes to show how this occasion that we read of in today's gospel would have caused a lot of social embarrassment to this young couple. They had more people than they expected, and the wine was running short. And at a wedding back in those days, it would have been a great embarrassment to have run out of wine. So our Blessed Mother, she's very attentive to the needs of those around her. And what does she do? She goes to our Blessed Lord and asks our Lord to do something about it. Now, Protestants say that, look at our Lord's response. That goes to show that he was putting that woman in her place, and that is far from the truth. Our Blessed Mother goes and says, the wine has running short. And our Lord responds, what is it to me and to thee, woman? My hour has not yet come. So like I said, Protestants say that our Blessed Mother was put in her spot. But our Lord, whenever he speaks of our Blessed Mother, always addressed her as woman. Now, why is that? Well, we know that in Genesis 3:5 or 3:15, that our Almighty God told the serpent after the fall of Adam and Eve that he would put enmities between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and she shall crush thy head. And so it is that the woman that is spoken of in Genesis is our Blessed Mother. And that is why our Divine Lord, whenever we read in Scripture how he addressed our Blessed Mother, his beloved Mother, it was always by this title of woman. And that is to show to us that this is the woman that crushes the head of Satan. And to make it clear without any doubt in our minds that, like I said, this is that very woman. So this is the reason why our Divine Lord addressed her as woman in today's Gospel. But then he also goes a step further and he says, what is it to me and to thee? My hour has not yet come. And what does our Blessed Mother do? Without any hesitation whatsoever, she turns to the attendants and says, do whatever he tells you. And so our Blessed Mother knew very well that our Lord was going to work and perform this miracle on her behalf and upon her request. And our Lord was making it very clear that his hour has not yet come, but he was going to manifest himself publicly through this first miracle to the world and manifest himself as God upon the request of his beloved Mother. So he's making clear that our Blessed Mother had a sway over his heart, and it was upon her request that he worked this great and beautiful miracle. So as we think about this, we see how this coincides with how we as Catholics have recourse to our Blessed Mother. We go to Our Lady and we ask her to intercede for us. And that is one of the things that the Protestants say, I don't need to go to Our Lady, I can go straight to God. But our Lord makes it very clear that he's pleased with the request of his beloved Mother, And that is why he worked this first miracle. Now, as we think about this, I think it's a good reminder to us, and it is a good reminder to us of the importance of going to our Blessed Mother and asking her to intercede for us. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever read the book Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus Liguori. But if you haven't read this book, I would definitely encourage and recommend it. He has many beautiful stories about the intercession of our Blessed Mother. But one of the stories that he mentions, St. Alphonsus Liguori, the Glories of Mary, he mentions the story of a mother who had a very strong devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this woman was very devout, and like I said, very strong devotion to our Blessed Mother, but her husband died and left her a widow, and she had just one child, she had a son. So this son she put into the court of the prince because she wanted to give him a future. She wanted to give him an opportunity to further himself. So he was going to go to court and be taught by some of the best of the teachers of that time in that area. And so she put him in court with the intention of him, like I said, having a future. But during this time there, he fell upon bad company. And it is said that he became a robber and a thief. And he fell into disgrace with the law. And it happened that he committed some very serious crimes, and he was imprisoned. And his mother was very distraught, seeing what had happened to her son and the man that her son had become. And she was very distraught, and she prayed to our Blessed Mother day in and day out for the conversion of her wayward son. And so it happened on account of the crimes of this young man, he was sentenced to be executed, to be put to death. And this young man was just, he thought to himself, I'm such a disgrace. I have let down my mother. I have become a disgrace to society. And he was very much distraught with his own self. And as he was sentenced to death, he knew he was going to die. He had been pretty much hardened in his ways. But there was a young man the devil appeared to this young man in prison. And this devil appeared to him as a man, and he was telling this prisoner, this thief and this robber, to renounce the church, to renounce Jesus and the sacraments. And he said that if he would do that, that he would have the power to release him from prison. And the prisoner, this thief, thought to himself, well, that sounds like that'd be great, be released from here. And so it is that he complied. He renounced the church, he renounced Christ, and he renounced the sacraments. But the devil took it a step further, and he told the young man, the robber, the thief, to renounce the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, this young man could not bring himself to renounce our Blessed Mother, and the devil kept trying to persuade him, renounce our Blessed Mother, renounce the Blessed Virgin Mary, but the thief refused. Now, it's very interesting because the mother of this thief had taught him a prayer. She said, promise me one thing. Promise that you'll pray this every day. And that prayer was, O Blessed Virgin Mary, pray for me now and especially at the hour of my death. So it is that that prayer came to his mind and he began to pray it over and over. O Blessed Virgin, pray for me now and especially at the hour of my death. And it said that the devil disappeared. And this young man was left alone by himself, and he was just overwhelmed with grief and remorse for having renounced the church, for having renounced Christ. And he made up his mind to go to confession, so he asked for a priest, and he made his peace with Almighty God. And that was not the end of the story, but that in itself was a little miracle. But as he was being, his execution day came up, he was being led to the place of his execution. There was a statue of our Blessed Mother that they passed by, but a very miraculous thing happened. The statue of our Blessed Virgin, of our Blessed Mother, greeted this prisoner, this thief, as he was being led to execution. And those in the crowd saw the statue of our Blessed Mother move and greet this prisoner. And everyone was kind of taken aback by this. So the young man gets taken to the place of execution, and as they make it there, he's asked what his last request is. And he requested to go prayed before the statue of our Blessed Mother that they had passed, and to kiss the feet of the statue. So they had acquiesced to his request, and he went back to the statue, and as he knelt down and kissed the feet of our Blessed Mother, the statue bent over and embraced this prisoner, and showed, obviously, this very miraculous incident that she had, that he was forgiven, and that she was looking out for him. And as the people saw this, they were amazed, and the soldiers tried to grab the man and to tear him away from the statue, but our Blessed Mother held him in a tight embrace and wouldn't let go of this man. And so the people in the crowd cried out, "Pardon him, pardon him." And so it is that they forgave this man. They pardoned him for his crimes. And the young man was released, and he went back and lived a very fervent and a very devout life, and was faithful to the Church and to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So this is in that book, The Glories of Mary, by St. Alphonsus Liguori. There are a couple of other stories I wanted to share just very briefly. One of the stories was in the life of St. John Marie Vianney. We know that St. John Marie Vianney was the great cure of ours. He was well known for his miracles. He was known to be able to read the hearts of men. He spent long hours in the confessional, but he's the patron of parish priests. But in the life of St. John Vianney, there was a certain incident where there was a woman who had a very strong devotion to our Blessed Mother. But her husband was a non-Catholic. He had fallen away from the faith. And her husband was fallen away Catholic. But he knew that his wife, every month of May, would set up an altar to our Blessed Mother, and that she was always wanting to put flowers there. So the husband would bring flowers home to give to his wife, even though he knew that she would put them at the altar of our Blessed Mother. He knew that it gave her great joy, and so he did this little favor, even though he knew they were going to our Blessed Mother, and he didn't believe. So lo and behold, one day, this man jumps off a bridge and commits suicide. And the woman, the wife, was absolutely distraught. She thought to herself, how can this be? I prayed and prayed and prayed for my husband every day, made so many sacrifices. How is it that God did not hear my prayer? How is it that God would allow this to happen? So she went to St. John Marie Vianney, and she poured forth her grief and her sorrow to him. And St. John Marie Vianney was given an inspiration by Almighty God. And he comforted this woman and said, do not worry. Our Blessed Mother was able to have recovered. Our Blessed Mother interceded for your husband, and your husband was saved at the very last second. And St. John Marie Vianney went on to tell the wife, this woman, that as he had jumped from the bridge, from the time he jumped to the bridge to the moment he hit the water, he had just enough time to have remorse for what he was doing and to turn to God and ask for forgiveness. And it was in those last seconds before he hit the water that he was able to make his peace with Almighty God, that our Blessed Mother interceded and was able to have that grace of conversion in those last seconds. And St. John told the woman that it was because the husband brought those flowers to his wife, even though they were going to our Blessed Mother's shrine, that little act of devotion that our Blessed Mother was able to bring forth, that great grace of conversion in those last seconds. So that was in the life of St. John Marie Vianney. And the last story I wanted to mention is in the life of St. Gemma Galgani. Now, St. Gemma Galgani was a saint who lived in the time of St. Therese of Lisieux, the late 1800s. But St. Gemma was a mystic, and she was given the gift of the stigmata. So she wore about her body the marks of the crucifixion, of the stigmata. But St. Gemma Galgani lived with a family, and she did housework for this couple. And it is said that whenever St. Gemma would go into ecstasy, that she would go into her room and lock her door and converse with Almighty God out loud, with our Lord Jesus Christ. And the couple knew that whenever she'd go into her room, that she would be conversing with our Lord. They would go and listen outside of the door to the conversations that St. Gemma was having with our Lord. And this is how we have the story that I'm going to relate to you. But in this particular incident, St. Gemma was asking for the conversion of a very great sinner in the town that she lived in. This sinner was going to be executed because of his crimes, because of his sins. And St. Gemma was asking Almighty God to forgive him and to bring about his conversion. And our Divine Lord, in this particular instance, was not listening to the prayers of St. Gemma. He was saying, my justice needs to be satisfied. He has committed so many grave and heinous sins that my justice needs to be satisfied. And he wouldn't be moved. His sacred heart would not be moved. And St. Gemma was pleading, please, Lord, have mercy. I offer you my sacrifices, my prayers for the conversion of this man. And our Lord said, no, my justice must be satisfied. Now, St. Gemma was not one to give up easily. So she stopped, and she thought to herself, well, if our Lord won't listen to me, I know there is one that he will listen to. So it is that she changed her tune, and she said, dear Lord, I know that thy justice must be satisfied, and I know that you will not listen to me, a poor sinner. But if you will not listen to me, a poor sinner, there is one that you will listen to, and that is your Most Holy Mother. And I ask you through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin that you please grant the grace of conversion to this poor sinner. And it is said that our Divine Lord had a change of heart, so to say, that he could not refuse his Blessed Mother anything. And so through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, he granted that prayer, that gift, to this prisoner and answered the prayer of St. Gemma Malgani. But you can say that St. Gemma, so to say, tricked. You can say that she tricked our Divine Lord. Okay, fine, you won't listen to me, there is one that you will listen to, and that was our Blessed Mother. So on this Sunday, as we think about the beautiful gospel story of the wedding feast at Cana, just shows to us the intercession of our Blessed Mother. When Protestants ask us, why do you pray to Mary? We can point to them, say it's scriptural. Our Divine Lord himself worked his first miracle through the intercession of his Most Holy Mother. And that is why we pray to Our Lady and ask her to help us, to intercede for us, because she has a very strong sway over the Sacred Heart of our Divine Lord. So on this Sunday, let us renew our love and our devotion to our Blessed Mother. And let us go to her and have recourse to her in all of our needs and all of our trials and difficulties. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.